I'd like to thank you for coming and sitting down and looking into God's Word with us. I'm actually recording this on the morning of Christmas. And what a wonderful day it is, and what a wonderful Savior we have to come into this world as a child that we celebrate at this time of the year. I wrote this message for tomorrow, December 26th of 2021, titled it The Throne in Heaven, because that's the way my Bible subtitled it. We're starting the book of Revelation chapter 4, and we'll look at verses. My outline, I subtitled A Vision of Christ in Heaven. The more I looked at this and the more I thought about it, it was more a vision of Christ in heaven than just sitting on the throne. Point one, what is heaven like? Point two, what is the throne room like? Point three, what is our role? Revelations is first and foremost a book about God's greatness. It's the most important thing about it is how great God is. Now, all the scenes of history and spiritual conflict center on God himself. None of this is an accident. It's all centered around God. The whole universe is destined to be filled with his glory and goodness and his praise. It isn't yet, but someday soon, that will all be fixed. The universe will be filled with his glory and there will be nothing to hinder it. In chapters 4 and 5 of Revelations, John records for us glimpses of Christ's glory. Today we get to look into the throne room of heaven. We get to think about God on his throne, orchestrating all the events that John will record for us. What does all this mean to us today as we walk our way through this life? What do you think? Big mess with COVID, big mess with the government, world conflicts. What does this mean to you and I today? I think it's this. The world is not spinning out of control. This is not out of control, what we see. God has a plan. I like to call it God's grand drama. John shows us what's going on in heaven. Before, he shows us what will happen on earth, so that we will not be frightened when it happens. Does that make sense? John shows us what's happening in heaven before we get to look at all the trials, tribulations, and events on earth so that we won't be surprised or frightened when it happens. We'll actually understand why it's happening and whose plan it is. So our text for the day is Revelations 4, 1 to 5. And I chose the New International Reader's Version. Excuse me. Goes like this. After this, I looked, and there in front of me was a door standing open in heaven. I heard a voice that I had heard before. It sounded like a trumpet. The voice said, "Come up here. I will show you what must happen after this." At once, the Holy Spirit took complete control of me. There in front of me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. The one who sat there shone like jewels. Around the throne was a rainbow that looked like a giant emerald. 24 other thrones surrounded the throne. 24 elders were sitting on them. The elders were dressed in white. They had gold crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings of thunder. 7 lamps were blazing in front of the throne. These stand for the 7 spirits of God. That's the end of our text. So a door opens in heaven. By the very nature of that truth, it says that there are other rooms with other doors on them. If John writes, a door opens, obviously that means that there are other doors and other rooms. In John 14, 1 and 4, Jesus told us this. I chose the NIV to read it to you. Jesus said, Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. The end. Do you know the way to the place he is going? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way to get to live there in one of those rooms is to know Jesus, or better yet, to have him know you. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus said. So Jesus is our passageway into this wonderful place. Like John's vision, the door is open. Jesus told John, come. Is Jesus asking you to come to him? There are many reasons we are called to come back to Jesus. Sometimes we are called to come to him. Sometimes we are called to come back to him, like wandering sheep. Salvation is our first step. Our walk with Jesus in and after his Holy Spirit has many steps. Some of them seem to go forward and some of them back. But often we are called to come to him. Our outline, A Vision of Christ in Heaven, point one, what is heaven like? Name several misconceptions people have about heaven. What comes to your mind? What are some of the misconceptions you have heard? Have you heard about the idea that we float around on clouds with harps all day? Have you heard that one? How about this one? Have you heard about the one where men get 70 perpetual virgins to enjoy for eternity? Have you heard about that one? A man gets 70 ladies that are perpetual virgins for the rest of eternity for him to enjoy? Several. Imagine actually getting to see Jesus and actually being in his presence for eternity. What is that like? Can you wrap your head around it? I can only imagine is the song that's going through my head. A on your outline. Jesus appears in a beautiful scene of worship and the magnificent King of heaven and earth. So, beautiful, magnificent King are the blanks for point A. Can you see it? Can you see this beautiful scene? Can you see the magnificent King? Do you understand it? Does it make sense to you? What thoughts and feelings come to your mind when you try to imagine this? Are you like me and think, that's too big for my puny brain. I can't wrap my brain around that. Then I take a sip of my coffee and I think, what does my Bible tell me about it? I remember there are two times in the New Testament where normal men get to see it. Obviously, John is one of them because we're reading that. Who's the other? Have we studied and looked deeply into his life? I'll give you a hint. He was the main character in the book of Acts. That's right. Paul got to see this. He wrote about it in 2 Corinthians 12:4, but he was not allowed to talk or write about it. Our God has been good to us and shown glimpses of heaven in the Old Testament too. There are a lot of these. We'll only look into a few. 1 Kings 22:19 is a good one. I like Job 1:6 and 2:1 where the angels come to present before God and Satan comes with them. Psalms 89, verses 6 and 7, King David has a wonderful glimpse of it. Ezekiel chapter 1 is all about this. Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 to 10 have a specific picture of this that you could look at. That's just some of them. B on your outline. Jesus' rule was established in creation, exercised in all history, completed in the Lamb, and celebrated in worship. So I gave you eight blanks: established in creation, exercised history, completed lamb, celebrated worship. We are a part of all that. We're a part of all that happening. See on your outline, God rules his kingdom through angels, heavenly creatures, and through believers like us. So your blanks are rules, angels, heavenly creatures, believers, us. God rules his kingdom through these entities. Angels are there. Some of the creatures we'll look at are there, are unique. But he also does it with believers like us. There's 24 elders sitting there to testify right now. God loves to work and play with others. That's true. God loves to work with us, but I think also he likes to play with us when we're having fun. When I think about John's vision of the throne room in heaven, I hear in my head the Lord Jesus saying, "The kingdom of heaven, what can I compare it to?" He did that with his disciples a number of times. The kingdom of heaven, what can I compare it to? Have you ever been to a large airport? You're waiting to get on a plane, and you're standing there looking out a big window. What do you see in your mind when you're doing that? Airplanes, loading structures, baggage services hard at work. Can you see it? Runways as far as you can see, and planes going to and waiting for their turn to get into the sky. You remember? It's busy, impressive, big, complex, right? Heaven is kind of like that. It's busy, impressive, big, complex. John gets to see a part of all the things going on in heaven. Maybe the most important part. Back to my airport illustration. What John sees is like the control tower of a major airport. See it? The control tower of a major airport? That's what John sees. All the hubbub of the airport is controlled from here. I think that's what John gets to see and write to us about. John is invited into the control room of all eternity. I think that's what God is showing us. So our outline, a vision of Christ in heaven. We looked at point one, what is heaven like? Point two, what is a throne room like? What is the word to describe the throne room? If you had to pick a word to describe the throne room, A on your outline, the throne room is perfect. My word is perfect. This is just how God wants it to be. The NIV of Revelations 4, 1-5 goes like this. After this, I looked up, and there before me was a man standing in a door open in heaven. And a voice I had heard speaking to me that sounded like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I'll show you what must take place after this." At once I was taken in the spirit before me, and there was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And one who sits on it had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow shone around him like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of thunder, and lightning rumbled. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. That reads a little bit different than the NIV Reader's Version. I looked online for an image of this, and I picked one that's on my PowerPoint that shows the throne room as one artist depicts it, with the elders and the beasts and the choirs and the throne itself. B, the throne room is too wonderful for words. Too wonderful are your blanks. The throne room is just too wonderful for words. Sorry, But it's just too big for me to explain. Eugene Peterson does well with it. The Message translation of Revelations 4, 1-5. Then I looked and, oh, the door in heaven was open. The trumpet voice, the first verse of my vision, called out, "Ascend and enter. I'll show you what happens next." I was caught up at once in deep worship and said, "Oh, a throne sat in heaven, and one seated on the throne, fused in gems and hues of amber and flame, with numerous glimpses of emerald. 24 thrones encircled, 24 elders seated, white-robed and gold-crowned. Lightning flashed and thunder crashed, pulsed from the throne, 7 blazing fire torches in front. These are the sevenfold spirits of God." That's the end. He does good with that. I don't have better words than that to explain it to you. Just encourage you to let your imagination run with it and see what the Holy Spirit shows you. A vision of Christ in heaven. What is heaven like? What is the throne room like? Now, our third point, what is our role? What is our role? 4 times John will write in the Spirit in the book of Revelations. John was just a man like we are. Could God show any of us believers visions? Do you believe that's true? Are you open to God's Spirit showing you truth in a vision? A on your outline. God's goal for each of us, our role is to be in constant state of surrender. Our role is a constant state of a surrender. Jesus said, "Not my will, but your will be done." That was how Jesus successfully accomplished his mission. He didn't do what he wanted to do. He did what God wanted him to do. So our role is a constant state of surrender. Rather like Adam and Eve rebelling and doing their own thing, we are to learn to surrender to God's Holy Spirit. We are learning to be more and more submissive to his Holy Spirit until we are completely in his Spirit. That's the goal, like John was. John's revelations now moves us from the local church to the universal church. So we've looked at the 7 churches with the illustrations of what's going on in the local church, but now God is going to show us the big picture of the universal church. John sees the course of things to come, much like Daniel and Ezekiel did. Many of these verses show us clear spiritual teachings. That's it. But others show us scenes that are beyond our ability to understand, like the throne. It's just too wonderful for words. But there are many clear teachings. There is a clear teaching that God will defeat all evil in the end. That's crystal clear in Revelations. God wins, evil loses. There is also a clear teaching that we need to live in obedience to Jesus Christ, our coming conqueror and judge. That's another clear teaching. We need to live in obedience to Christ. B on your outline. Who are the 24 elders? 24 elders are your blank. My best guess is there are 12 tribes in the Old Testament. There were 12 apostles in the New Testament. I think that's where he came up with the 24. The best explanation I can come up with is these are representatives from all the redeemed of all time, both before and after Christ's death and resurrection. I think these represent both Jews and Gentiles. I believe these are the best of God's family. They represent all of us in worshiping our Lord. Each one of us who believes in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior are part of members of God's family. We are adopted by His election. His election. These 24 are elected by God. Each one of these believed in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They were appointed by God to be leaders and administrators in his kingdom. The 24 are the best of the best of all eternity. Their lives of love and faith, humility, devotion, and service are rewarded by God to sit in his presence on one of these 24 thrones. There are other believers who God has appointed by his election to be leaders and administrators in other positions of power in his kingdom. There are more people that God elects to be a part of his kingdom. My best illustration is a poor one, but it's all I got. These 24 are sort of like the people we send to Washington, D.C. They are representatives in our government. Today, our best representatives in heaven are the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ himself. They intercede for us. Let's pray. My Father in heaven, we thank you so much on this Christmas day that your Son was willing to come, be born, and live in this world as one of us. And then to do that absolutely perfect, and then die a substitute for our sin, redeeming us from the lost Adam, and giving us his resurrection life when he rose 3 days later. Thank you for this glimpse of heaven so we understand you are in the control tower of all this. It's not chaos. And someday you'll make it all right. So today we thank you for everything and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Shaddai. die.